Heavenly Father God, Lord, we just want to come before you this morning, Lord. We consecrate and we offer you our first fruits this morning, our first time, our first thoughts, Lord God, to you. And we want to honor you, Lord God, with the first of today, Lord. Father, I ask that you use me, humble myself, and you use me to use your word to bring us closer to you, Lord, to reveal more about you as to what you want us to do, and also what you want us to know about you today. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 to 23. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles. Are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So it's actually verses 21 to 23 that I want to focus on this morning, but I was just reading verses 17 to 20 just for background. I was actually recently quite challenged by these verses. I've actually read these verses many times before, but each time I haven't really quite wrapped my head around these verses until recently. I feel like I've begun to unravel some of the meaning behind these verses. So let's take a look at them. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. So here, Jesus says that simply paying lip service is not enough. So because we proclaim him as Lord with our lips is not sufficient for us to enter into heaven, but we also need to do the will of the Father. So this is supported in James chapter 2, verse 17. So even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead being by itself. Now verses 22 to 23. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Then Jesus went on to say, so he went one step further in these verses, that even if you prophesy and cast out demons and perform miracles in his name, there is still a chance that he could say he never knew you and ask you to depart from him. These people will not enter into the kingdom of God either. So I get verse 21 that, you know, if we just pay lip service and we don't do the will of the Father, saying that we believe in Jesus, is not enough. But how come even when we prophesy and cast out demons and perform miracles in the name of Jesus, how come that's not enough? Surely these acts are what we consider as the ultimate spiritual acts, because it would seem impossible without the Holy Spirit. We're not just talking about an act of kindness where people can maybe do it out of their own willpower, or they preach a good message, which could possibly also come out of, you know, just good preparation and good research. We're talking about these supernatural accomplishments here. Surely such fruit must be considered as the good fruit referred to in verse 17 earlier. And surely they would be sufficient to warrant someone to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But yet here it is. Jesus is saying, no, even when you do such acts, it's not good enough in and of themselves. So could it be that even such spiritual accomplishments might not be the will of the Father, and hence are insufficient in and of themselves to warrant one to enter into the kingdom of God? So what is the problem here? What is the problem with these acts? Jesus said that the problem is he doesn't know them, as in we are not known by Christ. As PSM has preached many times before, knowing, like the sense, the meaning of knowing, when God says no, is an experiential kind of knowing, and it's not just head knowledge. So it is also, so if you translate this word in Greek called akinosko, means no, into Hebrew, is actually the same word back when Adam knew Eve in the Garden of Eden. So when they were with each other, naked and without shame. And it refers to this deep, intimate connection and relationship with Jesus. So note that Jesus actually never said that these miraculous acts were fake or the prophecies were false. No, they were real and the prophecies could be accurate. But what Jesus is saying is that despite these wonderful acts, they meant nothing to him without true fellowship and true connection with Jesus. So as I was reading this and I was pondering, this is actually a little scary for me on several levels, because it's so easy for me to think that, you know, when things are going well, when ministry's flourishing, when my kids are obedient, when we're financially doing well, etc., that means that I'm good with God. So I must be good with God, because otherwise, why would God bless me with these things, right? So basically, when circumstances are rosy, then I feel like I'm in a good place with God. However, this passage shows that simply looking to the circumstances and physical outcomes of things does not necessarily mean that we have a healthy relationship with Jesus. In fact, if we are successful, few people would even notice that we might not be even doing so well with our personal relationships with God. This is because we could be doing ministry without Jesus. This also translates into our secular work or being a homemaker. So could we be going to work, attending to our kids, or doing ministry out of our own strength, skills, and wisdom, and not relying on God? That we are not serving out of an overflow that stems from a loving connection with Jesus, but we are simply going through the motions and focus on the activities only? So recently the staff has been going through a book called The Emotionally Healthy Leader. And one of the examples it raised was there's this pastor in the U.S. with a beautiful family and a rapidly growing church. This church went from a core group of about 100 to more than 4,000 members over 18 years, and that it has a staff team of 35. Things are going pretty well until one day it was discovered that the pastor had been having an affair with another woman for 3 years. However, during those years, no one noticed that something was off in his personal life. In fact, from outward appearances, he was doing very well. Surely he must be doing spiritually well and have an awesome connection with God when his church increased by 700 people during the 3 years he was having the affair. What's even more astonishing is that whilst he's having the affair, he taught a popular series on biblical marriage and family life for 6 weeks, which impacted many people in his church. So that really made me wonder, how could that be? How could someone be preaching something that he's not actually living out, yet still preaches it with power? So one of the first things that came to mind was, I think this only goes to show how powerful God is, that he's able to use even the most broken of us for his kingdom purposes. Yet this example also shows that our success and apparent fruit might have no connection with how well we're doing with Jesus, if indeed such activities do not stem from a loving union with him. As it says in John chapter 15, 5-6, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So as these verses suggest, that unless we abide in Jesus, we cannot bear this good fruit. But if we don't abide in Jesus, we either do not bear fruit, as it says in verse 5, or it says in Matthew 7:17 that we could bear bad fruit, whereby in both instances, Jesus says he does not know you, and both types of trees are cast into the fire. So this also made me think, well, what kind of good fruit is God referring to? It seems that what we deem as good fruit might not necessarily be what God thinks is good fruit, if such fruit was not born out of abiding in him. So going back to the example of the pastor, before the scandal was unearthed, surely his powerful message in marriage and family life is good fruit. Surely the increase in converts and expansion of his church is good fruit. Well, it doesn't seem like that's how God sees it, because even if we cast up demons and prophesy in his name, which is not born out of abiding in him, he doesn't consider it as good. As it says in 1 Samuel 16:7, "For God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So what is this good fruit that the Lord is looking for? He's looking for a life that's surrendered and abides in him. This also means that even if we don't have any performance results to show men, yet we have a heart that abides in Jesus, that is good enough for Jesus. But let's not lose hope. Jesus promises in John 15:5 that he who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Note that this is a statement. So we don't need to focus on the fruit that we bear. It will come. We can trust in his promise. We only need to focus on abiding in Jesus. So what does this mean for us? As I was reflecting personally, it means that personally, I need to slow down with my activities to cultivate a loving union with the Lord. I think I was especially challenged by this passage because recently with COVID-19 and the children out of school, I've been extremely spread thin. I personally don't think I have the gifts of teaching. And the only time I have a breather after, you know, 2 part-time jobs is when the kids are at school. But recently I've been doing 3 jobs, and my 3rd job is something which I don't think I'm particularly gifted in, which is teaching, homeschooling my kids. I felt like my days were just filled with activities and demands from the moment I wake up, and by the time I have to go to bed, I'm just too tired to spend time with God. Occasionally, when I feel like the demands of life become too overwhelming, then I'm kind of forced to go to God for a dose of his comfort. Then I'll be on my way again, operating on autopilot. Yet when I came to this passage in Matthew, I realized that my various services, be it ministry, my secular job, or tending to my kids, would not necessarily be pleasing to him because I've been mostly doing it out of my own strength and I have neglected my relationship and connection with him. And because I'm not abiding in him, there's no joy or freedom as I go about doing these things. But make no mistake, all of these things that have been placed on my plate is actually placed there by God. Yes, yet as I executed, there's no joy and no peace. It felt burdensome and very tiring at times. Jesus started his ministry only when he was 33 years old. Before that, he lived a life of obscurity and invested his time in spending time with God the Father. After he started his ministry at 33, he continues to cultivate his relationship with the Father, making sure that he's in sync with him and doing only the Father's will and nothing else. Mark 1:35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Actually, even as I was preparing for the sharing and reading the relevant scriptures, I struggled with the idea of setting time apart for God, like regularly. The thoughts which went through my mind were, man, I've got so much to do. God, I can only give you 30 minutes max, and I need to be on my way. But as I meditate more on this, I really need to learn to surrender my circumstances, problems, and outcomes to the Lord. And out of that surrendering and trusting, actively and consciously step away and spend time with the Lord. So other than wanting to experience the joy and freedom in serving God, I also want to bear good fruit, the good fruit that is born out of abiding in Christ that is everlasting. It doesn't just enable me to be in a healthier place spiritually and emotionally, but it also impacts others, which includes the people whom I serve, my kids, my family, and anyone whom I work with. So abiding in the Lord is the beginning of transformation, and that it has ripple effects on people around us and beyond. As I close this message today, I would like to leave a few questions for you to ponder this morning. So are you feeling frustrated or burdened in whatever area that you're serving in, be it your secular job or at home or in ministry? Do you want to experience more joy and freedom in your service and in anything that you do? Would you like to bear good fruit, which pleases the Lord and that is everlasting? Are you feeling disconnected with God lately and feel like you're running around just doing activities? Or do you just want to sit and rest in the embrace of your Heavenly Father as a child of God? If all or any of the above strikes a chord with you, then I encourage you to come into the presence of the Lord this morning, surrender your circumstances, outcomes, problems at the feet of Jesus, and spend time with him. Repent for the times when you took your eyes off him, and he welcomes you in with open arms and delights in spending time with you. Even if you feel like you haven't borne much good fruit lately, that's okay too. is turn your eyes to Jesus, and he promises and reassures us that if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. So at this time, I would like to invite Matthew to lead us into a time of worship.
Let's abide in him as we worship this morning, fixing our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith, and just casting aside every other burden and concern this morning. We fix our eyes upon you, Jesus, and we just declare that you deserve the glory.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your name on high. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your name on high. You are great. So great, there is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. You are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no like you. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your name on high. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we lift your name on high. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you.
Yes, God,
there is no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great, God. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
Yes, God, we thank you, God, that you are great, God. Thank you, God, that you do miracles in our lives, God. There's no one like you, God. We put our hope in you this morning, God, and just thank you that you have all power and authority to handle any concern and care in our lives. We worship you this morning, God. We thank you. We lift up our hands this morning to you, God. Worship you, God, and just declare that you are great.
You are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. like you, for you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you.
Lord, Heavenly Father, God, no matter where we feel we are with you, where we stand with you, Lord God, we know that you're always that loving and faithful Father who always welcomes us with open arms. So I just pray again, is the guilt, what, like if anyone is feeling guilt and shame because we haven't spent time with you or we stopped fixing our gaze on you, Lord God, we just repent of that and say we're sorry, Lord. But we want to come back to you. We want to abide in you in whatever that we do so that whatever we put our hands to, be it ministry, home, secular work, whatever it is, Lord God, that, you know, we could bear good fruit that is everlasting, the fruit that you're pleased with. So Father, just lift this time up in your hands, Father God, that today will be a new start, that we seek to abide with you regularly. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen. So let's turn to our community prayer. Let's lift up those who are going through cancer and also chemo, radiation, therapy, and surgery, that we lift them up, that we pray for wholesome, complete healing in the name of Jesus, that the Lord will bring favorable test results, and that the Lord will be with them as they go through this this time. Let's pray. Okay, next, let's pray for those who are suffering from illness, but who also really needs that word of salvation, that the Lord will send his angels to minister to them, that they will have open hearts to receive that seed, and that seed will grow. And then they could really one day profess that Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Next, let's pray for those who are suffering from various infirmities. Again, let's pray for wholesome, complete healing in the name of Jesus. And may the Lord be with them as they go through this like kind of long suffering. They really feel the presence of God walking with them in this time, holding their hands, Lord. So let's lift them up. Let's lift up those who are seeking jobs. Let's pray that the Lord will just open doors for them and close the doors that are not meant for them, that he will make it clear for them. In the meantime, that the Lord will provide for their families, for themselves, that they're using their time wisely as they continue to wait on the Lord. But we just pray for breakthrough for these people on the list or who's seeking for jobs. We just pray for breakthrough. All right, let's go to our mission focus for today. Let's pray for SPSG, SPIN, SPIL, SPNY. Let's also pray for the leaders of these church plants, that the Lord be with them, give them wisdom, give them strength. For some of these places, the country is still locked down, like Singapore and the States. So please pray that the Lord will give the leaders the wisdom to lead the church in this time online, that the communities, the church communities, will not lose fellowship, will not lose connection with each other, and the Lord is heavily present with them as they meet online. Okay, let's pray for education ministries, SP Kids, Mary and Lisa, SP Youth, Donald, and SPU for Pete Andrew. Let's especially lift up SP Kids as Mary and Lisa are going to be start planning how the kids will, you know, come back in a staggered manner, and pray for covering over that. Pray for youth, SP Youth and SP to you, that as they come together and start meeting in person, that the Lord will just cover them, that they will have amazing meetings in these in-person meetings, that the Lord's presence will be with them, they'll have amazing fellowship. Let's lift up our prayer and healing ministries for Matt, who's the leader of IP, and Rachel, who's the leader of the Well and the River. Let's pray for covering over them. Pray that during this time, as they also slowly resume in-person meetings and stuff, that the Lord will just cover them, and that it will be a smooth transition as well. Let's lift up the evening outreaches. SP Lights homies, they're currently suspended, but that the ministry teams will have their own creative ways in reaching out to them, especially for these people who are in need. And let's also pray that, you know, how we can as a church do our part in reaching out to the poor as well in these times when there are no organized ministry outreaches. And, you know, the Lord will just open up our hearts for the needy in our city. Let's lift up the house churches that are meeting tonight: East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. If they're meeting in person, again, for the Holy Spirit to just really come down heavily on them, that they will have amazing fellowship. And also for the leaders, if they're planning for the transition from online to in-person as well, that you give them wisdom as to how to go about doing this. Just pray that whether they're meeting online or in person, that they will have an amazing connection with each other and fellowship with each other. Lastly, let's lift up Hong Kong. We just want to praise the Lord that in terms of controlling the pandemic, that I think we've been doing okay, and that life is slowly resuming to normal. Schools are starting and stuff. So let's pray that, you know, there will continue to be no local transmissions, no outbreaks in the name of Jesus, and that the Lord will just cover our city for those who are sick, that they will recover as soon as possible. For businesses that are suffering, that, you know, the tides will turn really soon. The Lord will sustain them during this time. And for those who might have lost jobs as well, please pray for them, that the Lord will also provide for those people as well. Okay. Heavenly Father God, Lord, we just want to thank you for this morning. Thank you that you're here with us this morning. And I just pray that, you know, as we continue to seek your face and abide in you in all things that we do, that we really hear from you in our quiet times with you, in our moments of silences with you, Lord. Lord, I just lift up this day into your hands, Father, that you'll bless the work of our hands and that you'll be with us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.